Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mary McCulley, a professor and chairwoman of the Information Strategies Department in the iCollege at National Defense University. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with some basics. You run the Information Strategies Department. Describe what the goal of the department is, how it works. Give us a little bit of background.
The goal of the department is to educate the federal workforce on the information and information technology strategies that the federal workforce can use to better serve its mission.
So this is, you said, the federal workforce. So even though it's called the National Defense University, obviously this is open to any federal employee?
Yes, it is. Our core students, of course, come out of Department of Defense, but Department of Defense is one of the many federal agencies, and Defense works with all the other federal agencies. We must be interoperable. We want to be interoperable, and so our programs are open to all of the federal sector.
How would you break down the number of students? Is it 50-50 civilian to DOD, or is it higher or lower? What would you say the breakdown is?
Currently, Department of Defense, both civilian and military combined, are about 70% of our student body, but 30% and growing come out of the other non-DOD federal sector.
I think that's fascinating, because I think that there's definitely a need for that training, but even more, because I think you guys go even further than training. It's education. And in fact, we're going to get to that in a second. But let me talk about your job. You're both the chairwoman and a professor. So what are you a professor of? And what does it mean when you say chairwoman? We all think of the person who runs the department. But is it more than that? Is it a matter of you set the curriculum and work with the other faculty members to really ensure that you're talking about the right technologies, whether it's cloud computing now or Web 2.0 or whatever is hot and on the cutting edge?
Pretty much multifaceted as a department, because I have 12 faculty members in our department. We're 12 of the approximately 40 to 50 faculty members that we have in all of the college. We divide the college into departments only for administrative purposes, because the college and the faculty work together as a whole. You know, we have our different areas of expertise, but in the information technology world, you can't do one little stovepipe piece without the other. So we really work together as a college. The faculty, we team teach here. So our faculty in one department will often team teach with faculties of other departments. So what does our department, my department, work on? And again, I'd really like to say our department, because I'm one of the 12 faculties myself. We work on, first of all, figuring out what are the leading edge type of things that our students who are mid to senior level across the federal government need to be thinking about at the strategic level. So we go out there and we try to associate the unassociated dots to figure out what are the concepts, what are the issues, whether it be policy issues, technology issues, social issues, bureaucracy issues, whatever it is that's going to enhance or interfere with leveraging information technology for strategic advantage. We develop a curriculum around that, so that our hope of being outcome-based is that when our students have gone through our program, they are best equipped possible to go back into their organizations, enhance their organization's ability to leverage that information and information technology to move their mission forward, both their mission in and of itself as an organization, but their mission when they cross or collaborate with other organizations across the federal government, because collaboration is a big thing.
You mentioned a couple of things. Obviously, collaboration, I was at a recent conference, and the GSA Administrator Martha Johnson talked a lot about collaboration. She said we invented a new thing called a SLAM, where we slam people together to really deal with an issue, to solve a problem. But you also mentioned stovepipes and new technology issues. Let me jump over the stovepipe. Obviously, that's a keyword in all technology: don't build a stovepipe. But you're talking about education as a stovepipe. When you say we work together with the other colleges at NDU, explain more of what that means. Give us an example of maybe how you work with one of the other colleges.
We offer electives courses to our sister colleges during their academic year, because like National War College, their focus is on policy. The ICAF, the Industrial College and Armed Forces Resources, are niche is on information. So when you put the three together, you have a whole person, per se. So we offer electives for them, so their students have the opportunity to do some study, in-depth study, in the information field, because it's one of the components of national power.
And I think that follows the trends we're seeing, where you hear time and again, it's not technology for technology state. It's the idea of enabler. You got to enable the business. And I think by making the connections, you're helping for the students, the federal employees, to really make that connection.
Correct. Information, not information technology, but information is the heart of the business. Whether you're a CFO, a CIO, a commander, the executor, no matter where you are, information is the heart of the business. And we really talk about information and the enabling of technology to get that information to the right person at the right time.
I want to jump also, you mentioned new technologies. Make sure whether it's social, whether it's technological, whether it's policy issues. There's a lot that's been going on, especially in the last 18 months when the new administration has come in and talks a lot about cloud computing and data and openness. What have you incorporated into the curriculum over the last year or so that really focuses on those new technologies or emerging technologies?
Well, cloud computing, as you said, is a key one. That is absolutely a discussion at the policy level because we don't do technology in and of itself here. We educate at the graduate level for the mid to senior leaders. So we talk about what does that really mean to the organization to go cloud computing, the positives and the negatives, the drawbacks, and the enhancers, you know, whether it be dollars, whether it be security, be policy, interoperability, mobility, global reach, those kinds of things. We've also our big emphasis on social media, Web 2.0 type of issues. You know, Dr. Childs, our director, he wants us, I mean, he enables the faculty to go out there and search those things out and play with them. What does it really mean? I mean, how user-friendly is it? What can it help? How can it help the decision-maker? How can it help the operators? How can it help the warfighter? Because really, number one customer for us in the National Defense University is the warfighter.
And I know cybersecurity is a big part of that. You guys just had a huge conference. I know Dr. Child spoke. It was Indonesia or Malaysia? Or
Malaysia.
That's another big issue. Let me jump over, because all of this fits around to the idea of a CIO certificate program. So give us some sense of what this program is, how it works. We've talked maybe some about the future courses that the CIOs may offer, but are you looking at some new courses over the next year, for the next semester? How does it work?
Well, our initial program came about from the Clinger-Cohen Act that was passed in the 1990s. And our core courses were really more about technology with information being there, but not the forefront. So as the CIO world is maturing and information really is the crux, you can see the shift in our courses or more onto the information side with IT being the enhancement. Then we looked at, information is about everybody. It's not just in the CIO shop. So now we're looking at information leaders. How does the CIO interface with the commander, again, as we talked about previously? How does the CIO communicate and collaborate with the CFO? You know, because there's not always been a marriage made in heaven there. So our courses are more about how the key components in the organization get information, use information, and the architecture to support how that is being done.
The certificate program as well, that's something that we may get into more details in a little bit, but basically, is it something that you come and you take a course a week, is it a week-long course, and then you take it for 1 week a month for 6 months? Give us some perspective.
Well, first of all, we have to look at our customer base. And our customer base for us, the primary one, of course, is the warfighter. And as you know, since the late 90s, early 2000s, the ops tempo has been extremely high. Success to us looks like we are lifelong learners. So we are offering courses and programs that allow our customer base to become lifelong learners. We offer our courses in one method of offering our courses in 1 week chunks. We offer 3 graduate level course and let's say the performance measurement course. We offer it 12 times a year, different times. So if a student out there is TDY or the Ops Tempo or the Joint Staff or the COCOMs, the Combat Commander Staffs or the units can't come in one time, that there is opportunity for them to attend another time. We also offer programs in distance learning or distributed learning on the internet. Again, very interactive, small classroom, same or better quality than they can get in resident, but they can take it anywhere, anytime. So many of our students are on ships, they're in Iraq, they're in Afghanistan, they're in Germany, they're in Korea, they are all over the world. So we're not a traditional semester-based university. We are ones that offer the courses at multiple times over the year to meet the customer's availability.
And when you say it's 1 week chunks, so they're in school 9 to 5, 8 to 4, and then they take all those hours, they compress it, if you will, into a week. So as instead of a semester, you take one hour a week or 2 hours a week.
No, a course in itself by guidance, because we are an accredited university, it's a course at the 3 graduate level hour is about 120 hours that we need students to wrestle with the material. So they are here for 1 week, if it's a resident course, for 1 week. But prior to them coming, they have all their readings and prep work. And after they leave, they have 3 weeks of post-work that they work both in their groups and by themselves on their final assessment. So a course in and of itself, a course, is takes about 120 hours, again, from a student's point of view of wrestling with that material so they can understand it at the critical thinking level.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the university and how the college works. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mary McCullough, the chairwoman and professor of the Information Strategies Department at the iCollege at the National Defense University.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mary McCullough, the chairwoman and professor of the Information Strategy Department at the iCollege at the National Defense University. Now, Mary, before break, we talked a lot about the setup of the program, how it works. One thing we didn't get into is the cost of the program. I think everybody wants to know, is this going to cost me money, or does my agency have to have training funds? Because that's the thing we always hear, training gets cut first. So talk a little bit about that, and then talk a little bit about, started down the path of the CIO certificate program, what happens, how do you get to that point where you get a CIO certificate? So start with the cost.
There is no cost for the DOD employees for the courses or the materials. It costs them to come TDY if they're outside of Washington, and it costs them, of course, the opportunity time away from work. And we understand that is a major cost. So we usually talk more than just dollars. But for tuition dollars for anybody, civilian or military within DOD, it is nothing. Now, for the federal government employee, it is around $1,100 per course, because DOD, those federal employees outside of DOD. In private sector, contractors who are contracted directly to a federal agency, their cost is around $1,995 per course.
Now, who usually pays for that? Does it usually come out of the pocket of the student, or is there an agency fund, or it all depends?
It depends. Again, I'm not an expert in EPA or FAA or IRS, those agencies that send us students, but they usually have an education or training budget. And for many of the students that come, they have the opportunity to attend 2 courses a year.
Okay, so they at least can get the process going and get on board. Now, well, that's one of the things that we talked about during the break a little bit off the air, was the idea that once they get one course, it really kind of feeds that momentum, that desire to learn more. Are you obviously, that's part of your goal as well.
So what success looks like to us is once we get them into a program, a course, they'll come back for another course. And when they finish a program, they roll around and go into another program the day after graduation. That is truly success, because what our one primary goal is to make our federal employees lifelong learners in this very fast-paced, changing world.
Do you keep track of how often that happens? Is it 30% of the time? Is it 80% of the time? Do you have any even anecdotal evidence?
Our institutional research shop does have that. I don't have it at my fingertips right now, but our enrollment across the CIO program anyway is about one student a day, and one new student a day enrolls in our courses. And we graduate, if one would do it on a rolling basis, about one student. So our enrollment has been pretty steady. For a CIO certificate, the students must take 8 different courses. And for many students, They are take on the average of 2 a year. So a student really has 4 years to complete this program. We put it at 4 years so students have a chance to finish it. We prefer not to go any higher than that, if possible, because in our world, this stuff changes so much and so fast that at the 4 year point, what they took at the first year is, if it's not just the course.
And I definitely want to ask that question about how it's changed. But let me ask you before we go down that path, when a student receives a CIO certificate, is it a master's degree? What is it that they're receiving? A certificate, there's also, you know, a number of the local colleges in the D.C. area offer certificates in project management, for instance. Is it on that level or is it actually a master's degree?
Well, that depends. Right now, the iCollege has petitioned the Department of Education to be able to grant a master's degree. We are working through that process right now. We're hoping that we will be granted that authority, but again, we're going through that very rigorous process as we speak. In the meantime, when a student finishes, let's say, the CIO certificate, they take 8 courses, equivalent to 24 graduate credit hours. We have over 30 partner universities across the United States that take the credits from this, from our program, and students transfer into their master's to finish their master's as well as into their PhD programs. So again, we've been recognized by many of the leading edge information systems schools, colleges across the U.S. because they take our students, they like our students, they're well prepared, they feel that their critical thinking in this area is top.
Do most students go into information systems management? Do they go into MBAs when they move on out of here? What do you see kind of even just from an experience point of view?
Across the board, because every student comes in with their niche, because not all of our students come out of the CIO shop anymore. They're really talking about information leaders, so we see a spread across the board into enterprise architecture, information assurance, information systems, MBAs, you name it, they're into that.
And you mentioned lots of partner universities. Obviously, we're located in the Washington, D.C. area. Can you name a couple that maybe are in the local area?
Some of the local colleges that we have partnerships with include George Mason University, John Hopkins University, University of Maryland, Baltimore, University of Maryland, University College, and Syracuse has a local chapter down here, so our students attend there. Those are several of the local ones. However, our student base is across the whole United States. With distance learning, distributed learning, we have many, many students at the different military bases around or DOD centers around the United States. So we have different universities across the United States, like Polytech University in New York, Auburn University in Alabama, Syracuse again in New York, Texas A&M, University of Nebraska. Again, we target universities that, number one, are well-renowned, and universities that are in local in areas where we have a high concentration of DOD employees.
Very interesting. Now, you also mentioned about the number of students. You said one enrolls a day and one graduates a day, roughly, but give us a sense of how many students really are in the program, whether it's on a monthly basis or per year, and give us, you know, do you have any kind of breakdown of civilian versus DOD?
Right now in our CIO program, we have 788 current students in our courses. And again, as you mentioned, as we track the enrollment, we have about 30 new students coming in a month on average. Looking at our institutional research data, our enrollment is pretty steady, about on the average of 30 a month across the CIO program.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about something that you mentioned earlier about how the certificate program maybe has changed over the last few years and initially and how students who go over the 4 years that things change so much. But you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mary McCulley, a professor and chairwoman of the Information Strategy Department at the iCollege at the National Defense University.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mary McCulley, a professor and chairwoman of the Information Strategy Department at the iCollege of the National Defense University. Now, Mary, before break, we talked a lot about the way the CIO certificate program in the iCollege is set up to educate CIOs and other people in the information community. But let's talk about the changes over the last 3 to 5 years or so around for the CIO certificate program, specifically because of how technology has changed so much. From, if you look back just 4 or 5 years ago, the mobile computing, for instance, was kind of not even a real thought yet.
We keep up with the technology trends and changes, but we also keep up with how ubiquitous technology is in the organization. So one big change that we've done is the fact that we're just not targeting the CIO and CIO staffs anymore. We're talking about the leaders in the organization who are the users. The decision makers, you know, they're the ones that are the true customer of the information and the enabling information technology. So one of the biggest changes we did is broaden our scope of who our students are.
But that also means you got to broaden your scope of your classes because you have a certain level of or a certain expectation of what the students know when they come in, because you're not starting from the ground level. You're not saying, here's your computer, here's your, here's how you turn it on. But there also is the difference between someone from a CIO office and someone in the financial management office, for instance.
That is absolutely correct. So, for example, one of the courses that we use to really differentiate those kinds of things is called organizational culture. Organizational culture, as you know, is ubiquitous but intangible. And it's such a driver in all of our offices. So we try to bring the students' level of awareness of what this intangible but ubiquitous driver is, whether you be from a CFO community or a CIO community or a warfighter community, but any kind of user community of information. Now, this one course, the culture course, is not currently right now in the CIO program in and of itself, but it is in the master's degree program where the CIO certificate will be a concentration. Another course that we've just brought online is called Decision Making Across the Government Senior Leaders. How do senior leaders make decisions? Well, it's based on information. And so we're talking about not only the information flows to the leaders, but what kinds of information do they want, do they accept, do they use in their decision-making process? But they first have to understand who they are themselves as decision-makers. What are their biases? What are their ethical bents? What are their economic bents? Those kinds of things to understand themselves as users of information to make decisions. So these are the kinds of courses that we're starting to offer. Another course that we just brought on board was the WGV course, and what that addresses is all the Web 2.0 technologies, the policies, the users, the expectations, the constraints, the whole different aspects of bringing Web 2.0 technologies on board. And what is the role of the CIO in these things? Is the CIO going to wait for the policies to come down, or is the CIO and their staffs integral part of developing these policies? What is the role and the responsibilities of the CIO as these new things come into the workplace, especially into the federal workplace?
That's actually a great segue, because I was thinking as you were describing the course, well, DOD just came out with their social media policy. You see several other agencies are coming out with theirs. How do you plan a course when the policy isn't done yet, and then do you have to update the course when the new policy comes out?
What we really hope to do in many of these is try to get our faculty as part of some committee or subcommittee that's helped to formulate that policy. And we did that in Klinger-Cohen, we did that in GPRA, we've done it in several other areas. And yes, every time a course is taught, if you remember when we talked earlier, our courses are taught multiple times over the year. If a course is taught in May, I guarantee you the one that's taught in September, the same course is not the same course, because we're fortunate, we'll call it an opportunity, that our students come out of the field, Many of them have worked 10, 15, even sometimes 20 years. They're experts in the field. They have expectations that we are on the leading edge, and they are the litmus test. And if we are giving old information and not up to it, the faculty find out sooner than later. So it really is responsibility incumbent upon our faculty to be out there in the leading edge all the time, so a course is never finished. We are a lifelong learning organization, just as we hope our students are.
I think many students would be happy to know that, because there's nothing worse than taking a course where you're taught something that either feels old or something that's not new. It's just more of a reminder, and you're like, okay, I'm paying how much for this, or I'm taking time to do this. Let me ask you about the courses when you are, because you're expanding your base to agent non-CIO offices. What does that do to the CIO people as well? I mean, did you expand it in ways to say, okay, well, this is a information issue, but this is an information issue, let's say, from a procurement standpoint, or from a improper payments, or from a HR? Do you bring some of that in as well?
Absolutely. An article or a book that Charlie Feld has written called Blind Spot. In his book, he says that for most executives, IT is a blind spot, a discipline that is confusing and hard to understand. So what we're trying to do is not make it that blind spot to those across the organization. You know, this really has to be concurrence, it has to be complementary. We have to collaborate. If we're going to use information for decision making, information to determine where the organization can go in the future, to stretch out to that vision, then it needs to be understanding across the organization of how to leverage information technology. That's why we need to expand beyond the CIO. And the CIO needs to expand beyond his or her office. And we're getting there.
Well, we are almost out of time. But before I let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about your background. As we're sitting here in your office at Fort McNair, I see that you're an Air Force colonel, retired one. So give us your background. How long were you in the Air Force? Tell us a little bit about what you did in the Air Force, and how did you come to the National Defense University?
Yes, I proudly served in the Air Force for over 28 years. My specialty in the Air Force was command, control, and communication systems. My emphasis was on space systems and how the systems themselves, how they integrated with the airborne systems and the ground communication systems. In a snapshot, it really was from the sensor, when the sensor would pick up a potential adversary, to the decision maker and what we were going to do about that incident, back to the shooter. So it was the strategic C-cube systems that I worked on for most of my career. As I became a senior officer, when I worked on the joint staff, my area of expertise was on dual-use technologies. A foreign government would ask the U.S. government to buy some dual-use technology. For example, any kind of communication systems can be used for military use as well as private sector use. So when a country would come in, is how would that help or hurt the U.S. if we sold them that kind of equipment?
And then you came to NDU about 10 years ago?
I came after I retired from the Air Force. I had the opportunity to come to the as a faculty member at the iCollege, worked in the area of performance management and in leadership. And about 6 years ago, Dr. Childs, the director, asked me to take the chair position. I've had the absolutely fabulous opportunity to work with the different faculty members across the college to put on the programs that the college puts on.
Very interesting. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the iCollege that I didn't know before, and hopefully we can do this again as things progress. But unfortunately, we're out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our special guest today was Dr. Mary McCulley, the chairwoman and professor of the Information Strategy Department at the iCollege at the National Defense University. Dr. McCulley, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.